I stated last night, this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you a study that I have entitled Training for Marriage. Training for Marriage. Does that sound exciting? So I want you to be prepared because we're going to be dealing with this subject from a slightly different angle. And so let us prepare our hearts and our minds as we hear the word of God. Amen? Pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, thanking you for this wonderful Sabbath, thanking you for a time for us to share in the blessings of this gift. And Lord, this morning we are gathered to deal with this issue of training for marriage. Lord, there are a lot of young people in here this morning who need direction, who need counsel, who need wisdom. I pray that you would give them that, Lord. And Lord, as we open your word and as we look at these principles, may they be etched in our minds and hearts that we will never forget them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, and we're going to take a look at verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. If I can have a volunteer read that for me nice and loud. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Okay. All right. Did you get that? Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Can I get some ideas from the audience? I want you to talk to me this morning. What does that verse mean to you? The training will reflect the future of the child. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if a child is trained properly, even if he sways for a while, the principles laid in him, the principles planted in him, will eventually come back and lead him into the correct way. Any other ideas or thoughts on that verse? Yeah. Okay, so you remember how you were trained as a child, and even if you forget for a while, it's kind of like in you, and you will eventually go back to it, okay?
I think a lot of the emphasis is on that word training.
Uh-huh.
Because the last part of the text says, he will not be part from
it. Okay, mm-hmm.
Now, if that's true,
yeah,
we see a lot of us going astray, and there's something wrong with training.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. The promise there is that he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. Let me now have you look at this verse in a way that you may not have looked at it before. And it is this: when we read this verse, we usually see the good in this verse. We do not see the danger in this verse. Because the devil really likes this verse. Are you with me? The devil also understands that if he can get in and do what? Train the child. Are you with me? If he can get in and train the child, when he is old, the odds are he might not depart from it. Now, just as a possibility exists that you can train a child in good, and when he is old, he may depart from it because he has freedom to what? Choose. So in the same way, even though the devil says, I'm going to train this child when he is young, when he is old, it is possible for him to what? Depart from it. So there is both good and bad in this particular verse, the way that we can understand it. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's right. So the idea is that we should be training now for the future. What does this have to do with dating? Here's what we're going to see this morning. We're going to discover that Satan has a training plan for marriage. Are you with me? Just as God has a plan for marriage, the devil also has a plan for marriage. And so my title, Training for Marriage, I want you to first understand it in the context of how does the devil train young people for marriage? I want to share with you 10 points. 10 training methods that the devil uses for young people to prepare them for marriage. And after you hear those points, don't despair, because we will look at God's plan for marriage. Amen? So, here's a statement from Christ Object Lessons, page 357. She says this: actions repeated form habits. Habits form character, and by the character, our destiny for time and for eternity is decided. So how do you train someone? You train them by actions. The actions repeated form what? Habits, and habits repeated form character. While this is a wonderful principle in God's hands, it is a dangerous principle in the devil's hands. So, 10 things that the devil does to train us for marriage. Point number one, he trains young people to be impatient. He trains young people to be impatient. You know, I want to experience this now. How old are you? 10. You look around and it's like, man, I want to be in love now. I want this now. And you know what? The Bible tells us that we should be patient. The Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. And so, in our impatience, we begin to indulge this desire to get into a relationship. I need this now. And that's why you look around, you see, you know, young people, 10, 9, talking about they're in love. Huh? What? Point number two, he trains them to be doubtful. To be doubtful. This is what this means. Listen, how will I know if I like this person unless are you with me now? I'm speaking to an age group here of, like, you know, early teens to young adults. So keep in mind the concept that, you know, I don't know if I, how can I know that I'll really like this person unless I live with her? You know, we got to try it out. See if this really works. So repeat with me, point number one, he trains us to be impatient. Point number two, he trains us to doubt. Point number three, he trains us to lust with the eyes. Like, ooh, look at her. Ooh, look at her. Ooh, look at her. Ooh, look at her. Ooh, look at him. In other words, he trains us to desire with the eyes. And what begins to happen is that we get into this habit of looking with the eyes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you're sitting there real quiet. I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Point number four, he trains us to lust with the heart. Man, I really want Becky. You don't understand how much I want Becky. How old are you, 10? But I really want Becky. He's training the young people. He's training the young person how to lust in the hopes that when he is old, he will not what? Depart from it. Point number five. He trains the young people to desire a variety. A what? A variety in sexual and emotional relationships. So, for young men, it's kind of like, how many girls have you had? Oh, I've had. You want me to count? And we kind of boast in that. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the more women, you know, the more girls that you have, the more girlfriends you've had, man, the, wow, you must be really cool, huh? You guys sure look like you're squirming in your seats. Let me tell you something. If I can describe it like this, women, you imagine you have, like, what's called an emotional cup, okay? And some guy comes along, and he's asking you for your emotions. Give me your emotions. I want you to love me. And so you pour out your emotions to this guy. And then your emotional cup, 100%, you pour your emotion to this first guy, and then he treats you real bad. Next guy comes along, what are you going to do with that emotional cup? You're going to pour out a little bit less, aren't you? Because you don't want to be hurt again. I gave Bobby 10% of my emotional cup. A whole 10%. You pour out to Tom, and just imagine what's going on. The next boyfriend comes along, you pour out to Tim, you pour out to Henry, you pour out, and listen, by the time you get married, how much trust? Are you with me? The devil's training for marriage. How much trust? It's my husband, but I'm suspicious because I've been hurt before. And you actually go into that marriage relationship with suspicion, with doubt, with fear. And you know what suspicion, doubt, and fear does to a marriage? Yeah. The devil is training for marriage. So the devil trains us to desire all these varieties, fruit and, bananas and, oh, look at these strawberries here. And, oh, it's just, I like variety. We're going to come back to that in a moment. What point are we on? Point number six. The devil trains us to compromise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what the devil does? He says, hey, listen, man, she's not so bad. I know she's an unbeliever, but she's a nice person. And what happens is, you as Seventh-day Adventists, the Bible says do not be unequally yoked, but man, it just feels so right. And you begin to put emphasis on feeling over the Word of God. In other words, even though it I know it's wrong, it feels so right. Do you know why God calls us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Okay, they'll turn you away. They'll treat you bad. Any other ideas? They don't live in Sabbatismos. Yeah. Let me give you the most important reason that God tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It is because God loves the unbeliever. God loves the unbeliever. And he says, how dare you, by your bad example, mess up the opportunity to save this unbeliever? Are you with me? God says, listen, I've called you to be an example to the unbeliever. How dare you? I mean, think about it. Oh, yeah, I've dated Adventists before. Can you imagine that? The unbelievers saying, yeah, I've dated Adventists before. I know what they do. God says, do not connect with the unbeliever. Why? Because I am busy trying to save them. And if they see your compromising spirit and attitude, it will teach them that God is a God of compromise. The devil trains us to compromise. Point number seven, the devil then trains us to mentally compare. Well, Tina was all right, but Rebecca, oh man. Rebecca was just, what? Ooh. But even though Rebecca was, ooh. Kristen, she was the bomb. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so now the devil is training you to compare, to, you know, he's giving you such a multitude of boyfriends and girlfriends that you can compare. Well, I like this about Tom. If I could have this about Tom and this about Henry and this about, you know, Frank, oh, I would have the perfect man. See, beloved, the devil is training us to love lightly. What did I say? To love lightly. Where we begin to throw this term of love around. Oh, yeah, I love. Okay, I don't love you anymore. I love. All right, I don't love you anymore. I really love. And what happens is that the potency of that word love diminishes. So we freely throw around the word, yeah, I'm in love, yeah, la, 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 la. We begin to mentally compare, which brings us to our next training point, is this, that the devil trains us to miss. He trains us to miss. So, man, you know, I'm with Becky now. But man, I just miss Tina. You know, the Bible says, you know, isn't if, have you ever, I don't know if you've had the experience where you broke up with somebody and then you get back together with them and you, when you get back together with them, you remember the reason why you broke up with them. The Bible says, as a dog returns to its vomit. Now, I'm not calling the guy vomit, please. I'm not calling the girl vomit. I'm just simply saying that the devil trains us to return to our vomit. And so we get into this habit of missing and forgetting what we, forgetting why we had broken up in the first, and we go back and we compare, and we're, the devil is training us to get into this habit of dating. He trains us to miss that freedom. And then he trains us to break our commitments. Well, Tom, I know that I told you that I loved you, but I don't love you anymore. Today, I love Bobby. Bobby! Please, no. Yes, I love Bobby. Tina, I know I said that I would be with you for the rest of my life. And even though we are in sixth grade and we have a long time to go. I found someone new. She satisfies my every need and desire. The devil trains us to break our commitments. So, he's trained us. Train up a child in the way that he shall go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Let's go through those points again. You are now 20, 21, 22. That training, I need somebody and need him now. It's there. First guy that comes along, will you marry me? Yes, let's do it. Come on, we got to get married now. Your parents are like, but honey, don't you think that you should maybe just slow down, maybe just now. Why? Remember that first training point? The devil trains us to be what? Impatient. And we meet someone and we know them for a couple of days and we think, ah, this is it. And so, you get married. What a joyful day. And you thought something about marriage that after you get married, suddenly begins to dawn on you was incorrect. Because you thought marriage was kind of like the seal of God, maybe. The latter rain, you know. When you got married, all the stuff that you had been doing when you were teenagers will now suddenly just go away. But you begin to realize that they haven't gone away. Because you have been trained. So, point number two, remember what was point number two? Doubt begins to set in. Did I really marry the right person? But you can't share that with anyone. Why? Because you just had a $10,000 wedding. Did I really do the right thing? No, I must never speak that again. But what happens, beloved, is that the doubt doesn't die. It grows. Why? Because you are trained to doubt. Point number three. What was point number three? Oh, well, I'm married now. I will keep my eyes on my wife and my wife only. However, you find that, wow, I've trained my eyes for the last 15 years to look at everything that walks by. And man, I just can't control my eyes. You thought marriage would put an end to the things the devil was training you in. But you now find out that marriage is not the latter rain and it is not the seal of God. And so you have doubt combined with the wandering eye. And then you find point number four, wandering heart. The lust of the heart. Why? Because you had been trained in so many years to lust with the heart. Go ahead, lust freely. You're not married. You can lust however much. You go ahead. And then you begin to find that marriage does not stop it. Then, point number five kicks in. You suddenly realize, remember all that variety that you had? Remember? Now, you're saying to yourself, I'm stuck with rice for the rest of my life. No more strawberries and one thing, one woman. You had been used to a variety of men and women, and now suddenly you feel the tension. I'm trapped with rice. Now, I'm not calling your husband rice or your wife rice. I'm just saying, I'm using it as an example, amen? You're saying, I'm stuck with one thing, beloved. Listen, let me tell you something. When you're young, when you're a teenager, the devil's trying to make you think, man, you know, man, you are just the Mac. Look at you. Look at all the girlfriends you have. Look at all the boyfriends you have. Realize that the devil has you on his training program. And then that's when you begin to do it. You begin to mentally compare. You know, I really like my husband, but if he was just a little bit more like Tom. Tom was so good to me. If he was just a little bit more, if she was just a little bit more like Tina, I think she would just be the perfect wife. Do you see what the devil's doing? Do you see how he trains? And what begins to happen is that begins to lead you to compromise in your heart. Because now you're saying, man, you know, I must have married wrong, or, you know, and by the way, I do want you to know that the divorce rate in the church is equal to the divorce rate in the world. So the devil must be succeeding at what he's doing. You begin to miss your freedom. And then remember how the devil would train you to just get with somebody and then break up with them, and get with somebody and then break up with them, and get with somebody and then break up with them. You have now been trained to break your commitments. You know what happens? You break your commitment in your marriage. Oh, no, it doesn't have to be divorce. It can just be, I'm going to go meet up with Tina from high school. I'm going to go meet up with Tommy from college. You break your commitments. If I were to ask you today, how many of you realize that you're on the devil's training program for marriage? Many of you might raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, though. The question then becomes for us, what can I do if I am on his training program? How can I turn it around? And I want to let you know that God has his training program. That's the program that we ought to be on. How many of you want to know what that program is? So listen to God's training program. By the way, I simply believe that we should rebel against the training of the devil. Just rebel. Just be stubborn. You know how your parents tell you, you're so stubborn. The Bible says train up a child. You're not listening to me. Rebel against the devil. Be like, nope, not doing it. Get the devil mad. Rebel against his trap. Mm-mm. Look, nope. So look, God's training program, number one, God tells us, Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. When God says wait, he is training you to be patient. Amen? God is telling you, you know, son, you are 10 years old. Marriage will come. For some of you, he's saying, listen, you are 16. Calm down. Wait. God is training you to be patient. You want to know why God's training you to be patient? Because God has the person out there he wants for you. He says, be patient. Trust me. Trust my plan, because with my plan, you will not go wrong. So point number one, God says, be patient. Point number two, God says, have faith. What is the opposite of doubt? The opposite of doubt is what? Faith. No, believe. Faith is the what? Evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Have faith that God is going to provide you with the person. Don't take matters into your own hands. Remember what Abraham did? When he thought, well, God promised me a son, but nothing's happening. And it brought about total misery for him. Have faith that God will provide the person for you. So point number one in God's training is to be. Point number two is to have. Point number three. Train your eyes now. Train your eyes now. Don't look at everything that walks by. Train your eyes to be faithful to God now. That when God has the person for you, he will bring that person to you, and then you will be God through his divine steps. That person will be yours. But train your eyes now not to look and to lust. Same thing with the heart. Train the heart now. I will not lust after anyone. I'm not married, and therefore I have no reason to be what? Lusting. Point number one. Be what? Point number two. Point number three, train your eyes. Point number four, train your heart. Point number five, train your appetite. Now, be on a fast. Can I tell you something? When you're on a fast and you have not eaten for days, and then someone presents you a bowl of rice, oh, rice! What? Rice! Rice! What? Rice! I got rice, yo, rice. Train your appetite now. Don't let the devil get you into a variety. Women, don't pour out your emotional cup everywhere. I mean, think about it. Think about how much of a joy it would be to be able to present your husband with an emotional cup that is 100% full. Let me ask you, wouldn't you like for your husband to provide you with a cup of emotion 100% full? What would it be like to be the object of 100% emotion? Huh? But if you're pouring your cup out everywhere, here, have some. Here. Oh, come all. It is free. You ever wonder why the Hollywood stars, I am now in love. That's scene one, Monday. Scene two, Thursday. It's over, I hate her, and it's done. We're finished. We just get together, break up. Get together, break up. Why? Because the devil is teaching people to love lightly. Train now to be unwavering in fidelity. I will not compromise. I will not be led to reason away why I should be with this person or that person. Why? Because I know that God has someone for me. I will be faithful and wait. I will not compromise, and I will surely not mess up God's opportunity to reach the unbeliever. Train yourself to not compromise. I don't even know what number I'm on now. I'm just talking. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve were married, it said, then shall the two become one flesh. Okay, so get this. Here's Tony and here's Tina. Tony has been with, oh man, Tony is just like a Mac, right? So he's been with like 20 women. Tony, he's hot. Now, for every woman that Tony has been with, they too have become one. But the problem is that Tony has been with about 20 different women, so now Tony is really like 21. There's been this emotional bonding with all these different people, and the Bible lays out the principle, when you bond like that, totally you become one. So, Tony is actually 21. Here's Tina. Tina's pretty hot herself. She's been with... I'm going to be merciful. So, five. I'm sorry. We're just going to deal with five. Five. Okay, ten. Ten. And so now, Tony and Tina have found each other. Oh, you are the one. Little do they realize that he is not one and she is not one. Because the two of them get together and what you have is 31. What you have is some of the philosophies that Henry and Michael and Jeffrey and Tony had all kind of, you know, brought together, and Tina had kind of taken on those things herself, and Tony, the same thing with him over here. And so you have this marriage where, you know, one day you get up and Tina's this way, the next way you get up and Tina's that way, the next way you get up, and see, and you're going, man, who did I marry? Beloved, there is this mingling of personalities, comparisons. You're mad at each other one day, and in her mind, she's going, I wish you were more like Tony. And in his mind, he's going, I wish you were more like Jessica. Thank you very much. You've got this relationship where it's not just you and your husband, it's the both of you and everybody else you've been with. Train now so that you will have no one to compare to. So that you might look at your husband one day and just say, I wish you were more like Jesus. Or your husband, I wish you were more like Jesus. You can't think of anyone else to compare to. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Train now so that you will not be a commitment breaker. That when you say to your spouse, I do, you can actually mean it. I do. Till death, what? Do us part. Beloved, the devil has a training program. God has a training program. God is trying to train you for your spouse now. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. We're getting ready to close here. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. We'll just look at verse 1. The Bible says, are you there? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says here, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they, what? Were. Let's put these two verses together. God says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. And then he says, that I call the things that are not as though they, what? as though they were. Do you know what that means? Act now. Act now. Like you were married. Okay, you didn't get that. Well, let's try it this way. God has someone for you already. Be faithful to that someone now. Why am I not looking? Oh, because I'm being faithful to my spouse. Your spouse? How old are you? 10? How many of you want to be married? You eventually want to be married. Young people, you eventually want to be married. Raise your hand. Go, come on, married, who me? Listen, wouldn't it be beautiful if when you're standing at the altar on your wedding day, you could say to your spouse, honey, before I knew you, I loved you. What? What? By faith, live now as though you were married. In other words, know that God has someone out there for you. So I am going to be faithful to that someone now. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to compromise. After all, what would my spouse think if he knew what I was doing before I met him? What would she think if she knew the kind of man I was before I met her? So I'm going to be faithful to her now. Who is she? I have no idea. But I know that she's out there. And that God will bring her to me in the right time. So I will love her now. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to go for variety. I'm waiting for my rice. So now, the highlight of our message today is that we are about to do a wedding ceremony. You did not think that you were coming here today to be married by faith. So, here's what I'm going to ask. All of the young men in the room, I'm not asking all of you to stand. I'm simply asking all of you who will say, you know what? Today, I'm going to marry my spouse. I don't know who she is, but I will be faithful to her this day. Yeah, I know this is tough. I will be faithful to her this day until God brings her into my life. Lord, help me to be faithful. I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. 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 Please keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. If you know who she is, if you already know who she is, please stand. If you know who she is, please hold on, listen. And for the rest of the men that are that may be struggling with this, okay? Let me tell you, you may be with someone right now who you've realized today, man, I'm messing things up for her. I'm being a bad example to her, and I'm going to need to cut it off and be faithful to who God, because I know she's not the one. Beloved, if you need to make that stand, I'm pleading with you to make that stand today. Some of you are sitting and saying, well, I know she's not the one, but I want her anyway. Beloved, please listen to God's voice. Be faithful to the woman that will be in your life for the rest of you. You don't know her now. You may know her and not even realize that you know her. Be faithful. Men, how would you want, what kind of man would you want for your daughter? Let me tell you something. The more unfaithful you are as a young man, is the harder things will be for you when you have a daughter. So, if there's any other young man in here that needs to stand, unmarried man, I'm asking you, would you make that commitment to the woman of your future now? Will you stand? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm about to close this off for the men, so please, if you need to stand, I know it's hard, but you, amen, 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 amen. Beloved, listen to me. Brothers, listen to me. Men, listen to me. Listen. Your marriage begins this day. Be unfaithful to your future wife, and it is simply an indication of what married life will be like when you do get married. You're not going to walk down the aisle. What you're going to do is repeat after me. Are you ready? This day, before God and these witnesses, I commit myself to my future wife. I will be faithful to her. And I will not give my love to another. Consider yourselves married. Amen. Now, please, I'm now going to ask the women in this room who are not married, who have decided this day, I will be faithful to that man that I do not yet know, or maybe you do know who he is. I will be faithful to him. I will be a faithful example. I'm going to ask you if you would be willing to stand. Amen. 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 All right, women, are you ready? This day, before God and these witnesses, I commit myself to my future husband. I promise to be faithful to him. I will not give my love to another. I will love him with all my heart. You may now consider yourselves married. You may now, by faith, in the future, imagine that moment of kissing your spouse. And when you speak to your parents and you let them know that you're not, please explain to them correctly. Do not get me in trouble. Do you understand? Pray with me, Heavenly Father. Lord, teach us to be faithful. Father, we know that you love us even more than we can love ourselves. And Lord, you have plans for us. You know the thoughts that you have towards us, but our enemy also has plans for us. Father, help us to be on your training program, not the enemy's training program. And Lord, by faith, I pray that you would strengthen your people, those who have made commitments today by faith. Strengthen them to indeed be faithful to that future spouse. Lord, remove this concept of dating as the world has put it. And Lord, may we not seek variety, but may we seek to find the one that you have set aside. Protect our marriages. Lord, for those of us who have gone through the devil's training program and are now married, we know, Lord, that it is possible by your grace to totally turn away from the training we received in our childhood. And so, Lord, if there's any married couple in here today, let them not despair, but let them know that just as the good can turn away from their good, so the evil can turn away from their evil. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious that even when we had been trained in the arts of the enemy, that by your grace we can become new creations. Lord, make our marriages new in your image. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.